Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by his stripes I am healed. My God is awesome, today I am forgiven, his grace is why I'm living, praise his holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That used to be a big word in the world, awesome. I never understood awesome until I encountered an awesome God. I never understood the word. This morning, I want to read a couple scriptures. In Matthew, it says, "And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father and your Father, hopefully, which is in heaven.
Yes.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, his name, there am I in the midst." I want God in the midst.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus.
I never really started agreeing with God until 1980, March 22nd, when God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I never started agreeing with a woman until 1983, June 11th, when I married my wife. Agreement is something that binds you together, that moves you forward. And I've thought about agreement a lot this week, and when I disagree with God, I usually get in trouble. Every time. And when I disagree with my wife, I'm really in trouble. But I want to read one more scripture. I want to be linked to God. I see that on the computer, on your phone all the time, to be linked to something, to link to that, link to this. I want to be linked to Him. I want to be connected with Him. I lost my Wi-Fi for 4 days last week. You know what? That was a good thing. I laid my phone aside. You fast from Facebook. You fast from your social media. And you get linked up with Him. One more scripture. And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall all the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with the joy and the peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power the Holy Ghost." That's where our link comes from, the Holy Ghost. Let's have church today, folks.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like.
Silence.
Before Brother Al comes up and has the ushers come up, I wanted to share something with you. This song, it reminds me of, I was reading a little bit about the name of Jesus, and when we realize the importance of the name of Jesus, then we realize our own, the bankruptcy in our own name. And, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, well, I deserve this, you deserve this, you do you, you deserve that. You know, that's kind of like the motto of our society now. And the truth of the matter is Isaiah tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so when, if it wasn't about, there is nothing that I could do to earn salvation. There is nothing that I can do. Obviously, I can follow what the Bible says, but I am, there will never be enough good in me to earn his blessings. There, because in our own selves, we are not good. And if it was about us being good, then we would have faith in our own righteousness. We would have faith in our own goodness and not his. And so I feel like when we come to that concept, when we come to that realization that he is the only thing good in us, that salvation is through him, that there's only power in his name, that we realize that faith is in his goodness. There, and you know, so sometimes in life we think about, oh my goodness, what have I done to deserve this? What am I doing wrong? What am I? And it's not. That's actually showing faith in your own works, right? But I am so thankful for his name. And there are some things that are just absolutely unshakable in my life, and it is the revelation of the name of Jesus. I can speak his name and mountains are moved. I am so thankful for that. And if the ushers would like to come, and Brother Al, I guess, just take over. I'll keep talking. Brother Mike, I want to just publicly say thank you for a lot of times when it snows. I know it's not only him, so I apologize if I'm not calling you out, but this morning I want to publicly thank you for making sure the steps are good for us to walk on and we're not falling. Sometimes the behind the scenes are missed, and I appreciate that. If you would like to go ahead and pray.
Jesus,
Jesus,
there is power in the name,
power.
name of Jesus,
of Jesus, he's good, he's good.
I will bless the Lord,
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise his name,
I will praise his name.
I will bless the Lord,
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise his name,
I will praise his name.
For the rest of my life,
for the rest of my life,
forever proclaim,
I will ever proclaim, he's good.
In the name,
victory in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
Healing in the name,
healing in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
Salvation in the name,
salvation in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
Deliverance in the name,
deliverance in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus. He's good. He's good, he's good, he's good. I will bless the Lord.
Praise your name, praise Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. I will bless the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. While you remain standing, I want us to take a special need to the Lord in prayer. James Gilchrist, who is the nephew of Brother and Sister Day, his wife Gidget. James is going in this week for some pretty serious surgery, brain surgery. And so we want to bind together as a church, pray for them, not only for his physical healing, but for salvation in their lives, and that we have an opportunity to minister unto them in this situation. So without further ado, before we do anything else, I just want to set everything else aside and let's call the names of James and Gidget Gilchrist before the Lord. Can we do that right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you in times of need. Lord, you're as close as a mention of your name, God. We ask you, Lord, to work in this situation, God. Of those that have contact and influence in the lives of James and Gidget, God, help us reach into them to minister in this time of need, God, to be their help and support, strength, uplift, gird them, God. In the power of your precious name, God, influence them, God, in an almighty way, God. They would turn to you, God, time of need, to find your help and your strength, God. Oh, how we need you, God. We need your strength and your love, God. Work in this situation, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated, unless you've kept up with your Bible reading, then you need to stand, and we need to honor you, Brother Gregory, if you'd be so kind to pass out just a little piece of bread, a little small token of appreciation for those of you that are taking the time to read your Bible. Bread program, Bible reading enriches any day, and so we thank you for that. Why don't you give them a round of applause for those that are starting out the new year, first month under the belt. I do want to remind you, Financial Peace University happened tonight, 6 o'clock. If you haven't done your homework, you need to do so. I do want to apologize for the somewhat cooler temperatures here. We had a boiler go down that's throwing an error code. Don't know what it is. I tried to reset it numerous times this morning. It's not resetting, so we are running on one boiler. And this church and all its efficiency has trouble enough keeping up with two boilers. And when you have one boiler going, it's even harder. So if you're coming tonight, you may want to bring a sweater or a blanket or a parka or an igloo. But we are planning to have Financial Peace University tonight, and looking forward to lesson number two. And we will do as we did last week with sign-up sheet and all that good stuff, just a way to keep on track. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that tomorrow night here at the church. Ladies, prayer. If for some reason we have to cancel because of the weather, we will let you know. But as of this time, I know that they're expecting some snow coming tomorrow evening. And so if we deem that it would be unsafe, we will make you aware of that. But as it stands right now, it is on for tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here at the church. Ladies Prayer International. Regularly scheduled services on Wednesday. And then we got some things up and coming. Do want to remind you, Faith and Family Night on the 18th. So that is 2 weeks from tonight. So instead of having Financial Peace University that night, we will have a Faith and Family Night. We're going to do a baked potato fundraiser by donation only. Have baked potatoes, and then we're going to kind of put a little kicker onto it. If you would like to be involved in a chili cook-off, see, it just makes sense if you have chili to put on baked potatoes with cheese and all that good stuff. So I know there's some men and women that fancy themselves some chili chefs. And so if you would like to do that, we'll have a little friendly competition and voting and try to make it where nobody knows who they're voting for, that sort of thing. So it's just based upon taste and all that good stuff. We'll do that at the same time. So that is happening 2 weeks from tonight on our Faith and Family Night. Again, no Financial Peace University on that evening because of that. Other announcements are up on the screen, making you aware of what is going on and what is happening. It's also President's Day weekend, so we decided that would be a good thing to do on that weekend. If you have your Bibles and you would stand. Yes. Okay, if you have the small group forms she's handed out, you'd like to be involved in the small groups, host those, please get those back to her. And congratulations on the grand new baby Zay. Mom and baby doing well. Very good to hear. And so, yes, if you have those small group forms, please turn those back in to Sister Graham so we can get that going as well. Okay. You'd be interested in hosting a small group at your house, your location, please see her. She can give you the forms with the dates and all the good information. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, one verse of Scripture. My voice is fading fast, so I'll try not to scream and yell. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Begin reading in verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Everybody say, a way to escape. That you may be able to bear it. Aren't you glad we serve a faithful God? He never allows us into a situation that He does not give us a way out of. He never puts us in a place or allows us to be in a place that He doesn't also make a way of escape for us. The Bible says that you may be able to bear it. In the help of the Lord, I want to preach you upon that subject, a way to escape. A way to escape. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. God, to lift you up, to magnify your name, to give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. I pray that you would open the hearts, the minds, the ears, God, of those that are hearing your word, God. Let it touch, let it stir, God. Lord, that we would be obedient, God, to follow your will and your way for our lives, that we would understand and know, God, that in every situation, every circumstance, God, whatever we find ourselves in, Lord, you have made a way of escape. You've made a way for us to come out victorious. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We give you praise and glory for the victory that we have in you. Jesus, in your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. way to escape. They are a relatively new phenomenon in the entertainment industry. Recent years, thousands of these attractions have sprung up all over the country. A few weeks ago, a family and I were in touristy part of Tennessee, Gatlinburg, Sevierville, Pigeon Forge area, and we noticed that quite a few of these locations were there. Did a little research, come to find out that corporations and management companies are scheduling groups to attend these in order to build and increase team building, teamwork. While the experience is often unique to the location, it usually goes like this. A small group is placed into a room and given a scenario, and a company storyline and a time limit to reach a resolution. Throughout the room, there are clues, there's riddles. You have to use critical thinking. You have to be creative, problem solving. All of these things will serve to assist the party in being able to escape the room. Should your group be savvy enough to solve the puzzle and escape the room, you are rewarded with bragging rights of being able to do so. Should your group fail to solve the situation in the allotted time, your punishment is to admit your inability to find the solution and to make the escape. Therefore, the newest form of entertainment, the entertainment phenomenon sweeping the nation, is called the escape room. Well, I know an attraction called the escape room is just that. It's an attraction. I know it's for fun. I know it's touristy. I know it's kind of cool. And I know there's different scenarios that they present in some of them. And although I haven't attended one yet, I think it'd be kind of cool. I think I am savvy enough and educated enough. And I would be probably one of the things that is preventing me is that I don't want to fail. I want to be able to do it. Want to make sure that I can make the escape and get out of the room. And I know it's an attraction. I know it's kind of a fun thing to do. And it would probably be a cool thing to get a group together and go about doing. But I also understand that there is nothing attractive about being in a serious situation from which one needs a true escape. The true-to-life horror stories, an unfathomable experience some have endured, being in captive situations from which they needed escape. Those kind of things have filled many headlines, newspapers, and reports. Journalists sees a story that has to do with someone being in a captive situation. If they finally make the escape or they aid others in the escape and the headline reads as a hero comes in and sweeps in and saves the day and allows the individual to escape the situation. As a realist, I understand that even now there may be some in this room that find themselves in a situation from which they need an escape. Addiction. Abusive relationships, financial trouble, captive to a set of circumstances, maybe living a cycle of sin, whatever the situation is, they find themselves in a situation from which they need an escape. They need a way out. They need deliverance. They need to have someone rescue them from the situation from which they are in. We would do well to be reminded, whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance that may surround my life, I need to understand that I do not have to remain captive. I do not have to remain in the situation. Whatever or whomever is binding me and keeping me from escape is not greater than the God who makes a way of escape. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever the trouble it may be that surrounds my life, I need to be reminded that whatever it is, it is not as great as my God. It does not have the power that He has. And though I may be restricted for a time, and though I may be held captive for a moment, I can understand that through His power, I can break free. I can escape. 400 years, they remained held by the most powerful empire in the world. They had come to the land of Goshen some 400 years before, 70 strong, led by the great patriarch Jacob. But now, 400 years later,
Joseph, now forgotten. His descendants remembered no more. They're slaves serving the great empire of Egypt. No doubt they wanted out. No doubt they didn't want to see the next generation to have to endure what they had to endure. They wanted to escape. They wanted a way out. Probably the greatest escape in all of human history happens as some 2 million people walk out of doorways stained with blood. For God had made a way of escape for an entire nation of people. God had made a way of escape out of what seemed to be an impossible situation. And I know as humanity has it, I'm sure there were some that doubted the words of Moses. I'm sure that there were some that doubted even as the plagues befell Egypt. I'm sure there were some that doubted even as they applied the blood to the doorpost. I'm sure there were some that doubted even as they ate of the lamb with the shoe still on and their loins girded up and the staff in their hand. I'm sure there's some that doubted, but when Moses began to call them out and they made their way and they saw the others, all of a sudden the doubt began to turn to faith. Maybe it is happening. Maybe he has made a way of escape for us. It's a natural occurrence, I understand. But I also understand it is a type and shadow of the spiritual escape from sin God would provide through the blood of Jesus Christ. I also understand that it's type, that it lets us know, it is foreshadowing what would happen when the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world, would by His blood make a way for you and I, would by His blood make a way of escape. Go back just a few verses from where we read in our text, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Paul writing there said, now all these things happened unto them for examples. In other words, we can look back and see these things because they are types, they're foreshadowing of what now is available to us. And they are written for our admonition. They're written for us now, today, as we read the stories and recall the events. And we understand the types and the parallels. They're written for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Could it be that the Apostle Paul is writing for our generation? Could it be that it is our generation upon whom the ends of the world have come? I don't know. We've done a study on the end time, and there are a lot of things which surely seem to indicate that we are quickly approaching that day. The end times We're warned at least numerous places in Scripture that there's coming a time when you and I need to be spiritually savvy enough to escape. When we need to have made our calling and election sure. When we should have figured it out and made sure that we have done what we needed to do and we've followed the plan and we've looked for the clues. And we spent time making sure we know how to escape. Look at the statements Jesus made in Luke 21. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Verse 33, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with fretting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. It's a snare, it's going to entrap them. Come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. That ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus in His own words. You want to talk about the words of Jesus. And even if you're one that says, well, I really only follow the words of Jesus. Well, do you follow these words of Jesus? Do you look at the words that he says and say, listen, coming a time and you need to be ready, you need to watch and you need to pray, because it's going to come upon them who are unaware, and it's going to be as a snare and it's going to be entrapment. And so you and I need to make sure we're doing what we need to do. Even in the end time, he will make a way of escape. The Bible tells us, while God has undoubtedly made a way of escape, there will be those that do not make it. And the penalty will be much more than just admitting I wasn't able to solve it. The penalty will be much greater than having to admit, well, I didn't do what I needed to do. I didn't find out what I needed to find out. I didn't search. I didn't seek. I didn't ask. Oh, well. I'm sorry. The Bible tells me the punishment will be much worse. Words and phrases that we truly need to understand the seriousness of: being eternally lost. No way of escape ever. Eternally lost. Now we have a way. Now we can escape. Now we can. But there is coming a time when no one will be able to. And I know I'm not one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers a lot of the time. And I don't scare people into a relationship with God. But I do need to realize that I need to have a relationship with God. So much so that I spend time searching. So much so that I spend time uncovering the clues in His Word. So when that time comes, I'm not caught unaware. I understand what I needed to do. And I've done it. And He's made a way of escape for me. Why, the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's a great salvation. It's for any and for all. He's made a way of escape for each and every one of us. He did it Himself. He made it possible for all of us to make heaven our home. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know one of the first things I need to do to make sure I escape? It is. Is repent. Those things which I have heard, to make sure I hold on more tightly today than yesterday. I don't let them slip. Compromise. I don't give in. I hold on. Standing therefore, the Bible says, having your loins girt about with truth, ready, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because I need to escape what is coming for the world and children of disobedience when He comes with His angels. It's there. He's made a way of escape for you and for me. If I but follow. I do not minimize, nor do I make light of dire circumstances people find themselves in life. Those things that maybe are a part of life from a physical standpoint, but I also need to understand these things pale in comparison to being eternally lost. I'm not minimizing what someone's in. I'm not minimizing the situation of someone's life. I'm not in any way, shape, or form demeaning what they're going through and maybe the dire circumstances they find themselves in. But they need to understand the same God who makes a way of escape for them right here and right now, makes a way of escape for them in the hereafter, makes a way of escape for you and I. When heaven and earth is rolled up like a scroll, you and I to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. He's made a way of escape. There's a great salvation available to us all. But unfortunately, it will only be heeded by some. No one has to be lost. No one need be cast into outer darkness. No one needs to be eternally lost. Because He's made a way. The Bible says He's made a way, a new and living way for us. He's made a way of escape. I don't have to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I paraphrase? Jesus is saying, listen, look at me. I'm the way of escape. I'm the way for you and I to make it. I am the way. He's the way out. He's the way of escape in this life and in the life to come. No one has to remain held captive in any situation. I'm going to say that again. No one has to remain captive in any situation. He's made a way of escape. No one needs to remain addicted. No one. He's made a way of escape. No one needs to remain in abusive relationships and in circumstances that they think are beyond their control, because He has control and He's able to make a way of escape. It saddens me to think that there are those who even today maybe sit upon the streets or in homeless shelters, halfway houses. They think there's no way out. In and out of rehab, trying to find a way of escape, trying to rid themselves of this captive situation, but the substance is too strong. Someone would show them there's a way. He's made a way of escape. He can heal you. There's no reason why any one of us should ever have to feel like we have to remain in a captive situation. He has made a way of escape. 2 Peter Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given unto us. We can be partakers of His divine nature. His divine nature is that He was never under any dominion of sin. His divine nature is the understanding that yes, in this world you have trouble, but understand He has overcome the world. He's made a way of escape. He's already provided all the necessary clues. If one would just simply seek, they would find. If one would just simply ask, they would receive. If one would just simply knock, it would be opened unto you. He's made a way of escape. He's provided all the solutions. He Himself solve the puzzle of sin once and for all. And He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Come on. Come on, I offer a way of escape. Sadly, still there are those that once escaped, but then find themselves entangled again. Once they were living a life free. Once they knew freedom, the bondage of sin. Once they knew what it was like to serve God, follow His will and His way, to be partakers of His divine nature, escape the corruption of this world that is through lust. They knew what that was like. Experience in their own life. So does the Bible address that? Yes, it most certainly does. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 20 through 22, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Peter? They've already escaped? Yes! They escaped. They made it out. But look, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Dog that got rid of that which made him sick returns to eat thereof. He escaped, yet returned. Sow was taken from the mire and washed. She escaped, but returned to wallow in uncleanness once again. He's saying, you need to be reminded. You don't have to stay there. The prodigal was in the wallow with the swine when the Bible says he came to himself. Said him to himself, do not the servants in my father's house fare better than I. What did he do? Got up, got out of the hog pit, and made his way back to Father's house. What are you saying? There's a way of escape for those lost loved ones, for those children, for those that have turned from God, for those who are now living in the world. They need to be reminded there's a way of escape. When they come to you and say, hey, Mom, Dad, what I'm going through, you know there's a way of escape. You know how to be delivered and be freed. You need to go back to Father's house. You need to go back. He's made a way of escape. Know that He makes it possible to escape now. To escape eternally. Said it before, continue to say it. I am saved from the penalty of sin now. I am being saved, think about it, from the power of sin as I live according to God's word. And I will be saved from the very presence of sin one of these days. Why? Because He's made a way of escape. One day, there will be an escape greater than the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. One of these days, it was a foreshadowing of something that will come. I believe the plagues of Egypt are a foreshadowing. I do believe that. I do believe and understand that according to the Word of God. I understand there is going to be a great escape one of these days. The Bible tells me the graves are going to open up. Woo! One of these days, there's going to be a great escape. Those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, but then those who are alive and remain slain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm talking about a way to escape. There's a way for you and I. We can escape it right here and right now. And we can escape it one of these days forever. I'm closing. You can stand your feet. Makes a way. We'll make a way out of no way. I said it before, God, in the middle of a situation, he's a creator. He can create a door that was not there and open that door that was not there. And through it, you and I can escape. No temptation is common in the man. He will with that temptation, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're dealing with, look heavenward. There's an escape. There's a way out. Pastor, my situation is serious. I'm not negating. I'm not diminishing whatever you may be held captive by. But I also want to remind you that it is not as great as my God. He's able to save to the uttermost. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He's able to save to the uttermost. He has made a way of escape. I want to do a part. Continue to read and study. Show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to keep looking, searching the scriptures, praying, keep doing those things which I know will hone my skills, sharpen my spiritual senses, create creative thinking in my mind spiritually. The next puzzle that I encounter, thing which seeks to hold me captive and keep me occupied, I can solve it quickly and move on. I can make a way of escape. It provides all the tools, all the clues. You and I must provide the effort. For faith without works is dead. I believe, Pastor, I believe it's possible. I believe he can make a way out of no way. I believe. Well, then work in that belief. Respond in faith. I believe he can take me out of this addiction. He certainly can. Put the faith forward in effort. Put it down. Walk away from it. Understand he's able to make. He is the way, the truth, and the life. His altars are open. Or maybe I don't really find myself in a situation that I would deem all that serious. Might I say this to that? We all are in a situation that is serious. We all need to make our calling and election sure. To make sure I'm not entangled again. Make sure I escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. To make sure I'm diligently seeking and searching. Aligning my life in such a way that I escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hold steadfast. Lord, let me tighten my grip.
You are the source of life.
this situation for so long. I don't know.
I will.
I've tried before and failed. Remember, two of the most wonderful words of worship you will ever utter from your lips are simply, "Help me."
To his side with love and strength for each new day. will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Can we sing it one more time?
God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
All over this house, can we lift our hands, lift our voices?
Oh, Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. You make a way.
Yes.
Lord, you work in ways I can't see. You know the way that I take. You tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm going to make it out. You've made a way of escape. Even though I don't perceive you, I look in front of me, you're not there behind me. I don't notice you on the right. I don't see you on the left where you were. But I know that you know. You see me. You've made a way of escape. I worship you. I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you that you have made a way of escape. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, God, you've ultimately made a way of escape this world, sin. So I know, God, you can make a way of escape out of any circumstance or situation. We love you, we praise you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being in service this morning. We have peanut brittle. If you would like to take some peanut brittle, please see Sister Grimm. There's plenty downstairs. Also brittle corn. Thank you. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.